Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
strong in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the fire. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise His righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I'll be your host, my name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called The Fire and Destruction of Christianity, The Great Beast, the Roman Catholic Church, part number 63. And remember one thing, the broadcast will definitely not go the whole total of 3 hours. It will be cut short within 2 hours, so keep that in your mind, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to stroll out in that side and see who all join us, and we'll see what we can get going on the slot, short slot period that we have. That's all we keep telling you, see, right, we got to get our own land, school, banquet hall, and a radio station. Need our own, see, right, this message is too powerful to be cut short. Think about it, the children of Israel have to wake up and understand they got rules and regulations. And once they understand the rules and regulations and apply it, Yahuwah's going to kick in. He's going to kick in, see, right? But we got to play it by the rules and regulations. No doubt about it. On the international side, there's 195 international countries. All the slots are still. All the slots are still. And it's plastic from New York, New York, 103-899. Another state on there can find the tips and bring them in. And we'll take from them, and we'll get in what we can get in, no doubt about it. So one thing about it, when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, we're waiting on New York to turn on his microphone. So when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah beat you FC right.
And Yahuwah bless you, Brother C. Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Mr. Tibbs. Well, another episode, part number 63 in 195 international countries, so they band with us. 103-899 is flashing. So, if the audio coming out pretty good, give me a thumbs up on that, and you take it from there, they'll come out.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Brother C. Israel. And as they say, your audio is 5x5. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Looks like another glorious outcome in the number of attendance of 103,899 listeners. Came to hear the words of Yahuwah. And you know what? That's what we're going to hear, the words of Yahuwah. But a little bit of a story about the Bible. You know, there's many versions of the Bible out there, which is causing a lot of confusion, along with the deceptive teachers that teach out of these versions and of their own words. So this brings you to think, who wrote the King James Bible? Okay, that's a good question, because we hear that asked quite often. Oh, King James wrote the Bible. Well, you hear stories like that. No, he did not. Wycliffe, yeah, he did. He wrote the first translation, and it had many errors. Tyndale, okay, he did it. And many other versions of the Bible has been written by a lot of different people. many different productions, but the most accurate today is the one I'll be describing. And some of the most famous fables that we use on a daily basis, that's right, most famous fables come from the King James Bible that we read. Let there be light, that's one. My brother's keeper. Fight the good fight. A number of most well-known phrases in the English language originated not in novels, plays, or poems, but in the Septuagint translation of the Bible, the King James Version, which was published in 1611. Being of the King James Version, King James First of England, it is likely the most famous translation of the Bible and the most standard Bible for nearly three centuries. Many people think that is so named because King James had a hand in writing it. That's not true. That's not the case. Those are the people that didn't do Bible homework. As king, King James was also the head of the Church of England. He had to approve of the New English translation of the Bible, which was also dedicated to him. And in most cases, what does a king do when he thinks something's great? He names it after himself. That's right. So if King James didn't write it, then you think, who did? Well, to begin with, there's no single author, because when we do our homework, one individual, Richard Bancroft, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was noted for having a role in the overseer of the project, something akin to a modern editor of a collection of short stories. The actual translating and writing of the King James Version was done by a committee of 47 biblical scholars and clergymen over the course of many years, 6 to 7 to be frank. So we cannot say for certain any one individual wrote a given passage, but one person most assuredly did not write the King James Version. Emphasize that, did not write it. Although he had a long rumored to have done so, is William Shakespeare. Can you believe that? No, he did not write the book. There's no evidence that Shakespeare participated in the project. While both his workers and the King James Version are among some of the greatest literary features of all times. His elaborate metaphor of heavy style and that of the King James, it was a direct text and a variety of differences. Moreover, there is little reason to believe there was a group of 17th century religious leaders that would become a welcome, prominent, lightweight play into their midst thereafter. And after time was widely thought by devoting Britons at least to be immortal. Well, these are the things that you have to understand. The 47 biblical scholars who rewrote the King James Version in English, which we use today. We use this as a Bible testimony. So we tend to hear these things, like I said, that most of us can hear. And some listening never can understand, and that's like right now, without proper teaching. To see those things that most of us can see, and some can never find, and once again, that's when they're told where to look, with proper teaching. This is why the words of Yahuwah makes all this and more possible for the righteous. Because, as I said, we have to be aware, by knowing the scriptures, there are those that are out there that camouflage evil teachings for righteous learning on a daily basis. So, we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 to 15. 12 says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off from occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. 13, for such a false prophet, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Yahuwah, the Son. 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a minister spirit of light. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Whose end shall be according, whose end shall be according to their words? Well, we're the doer of Yahuwah's words, and we follow his righteous teachings. So when we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, 12 says, for the eyes of Yahuwah are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of Yahuwah is against them that do evil. 13, and who is he that will harm you if he be followers of that which is good? Well, we want to stay on the right track, and we definitely want to be good. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that's open unto your lives with new and exciting topics, note that I say, from the King James Bible, first and foremost about Yahuwah's word, learning how to connect the books for your biblical education, your health and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. This is definite information that you came to seek, and you found that what you have sought in Yahuwah's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's no class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Now, the top part of Sabbath is Friday, the current time now, starting at 7:15 to 10:15. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class is 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address, which we'll probably give you once again when it's up and running. Our website address is currently down, but we will keep the members informed when our website is back up and running. But anyway, what we'd like to say is that when it is up and running, you will see a big lion. And under the lion, you'll see tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, you'll still see tithes and offerings. And follow the same instructions as it told us for previous use. While doing that, in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and 8, it tells all of us, verse 7, give unto the Yahuwah, or your kindness of the people. Give unto Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry would greatly be appreciated. To give what's in your mind, to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, lives. Also to build a school, banquet hall, a radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your systems. Right on the search line, type 3 words. Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for 2 named teachers. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. Now, we're currently using 2 email addresses for the listening members. The first, which is Tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions answered of a biblical subject or related topics. The other is yhdhysrael@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. One note that we'd like to add, please do not call any previous numbers you retain for this year during program time, as not to disturb the words of Yahuwah. We use a few Bible verses to explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse number 8, it says, answer not before thou have heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. The other verse we use comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26. 26 says, if any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain. But you can imagine, There are still those that do the opposite of what the scriptures say, doing their own accord. Calling during a program announcement or causing some sort of disruption when the words of Yahweh are being spoken unto you. It seems to me they just ignore or may not be familiar with Yahweh the sign that's given us in the book of Matthews, chapter 22, verse 29. Let's see what 29 says. 29. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahweh. So once again, please by no means contact the seer direct via voicemail, email, or text. He's generally usually pretty busy answering many memos, even thoughts of just running a memo show, as most of us have heard during previous shows. Responding to the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man. And mostly important is preparing Yahweh's lesson before our program starts. Even doing all this work, it's hard to imagine that the seer is only one man, but limited to only 100% of Yahweh's creation of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered, as you might imagine, by one of our anointed kings. Yahweh be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahweh in mind, the first is the live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. Yes, but by now, you may have imagined. Not this year. He's often tried to exceed Yahweh's creation, as I said, of 100%, and found that this is impossible. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of the program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15. Of course, except for Fridays. Our current time for restarting this program will be after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Type in three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you're late logging into, or actually any previous day that you would like to listen. Another good note, we're in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording of any program by request. To do this, just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, today is a good day, another day that people came to hear the words of Yahweh. Now, most of us that enjoy it, we come to commend it and add on to it because we love Yahweh's word, but only following by certain people listening, casting their word behind their back, taking the meaning totally another way, with the noisemakers, complainers, deceptive listeners, the page flippers. Well, you can imagine, it goes on. But we can only do 100% what one man or woman can do. And we can't do more than that. So, at this time, we will turn our program back to our seer Israel. Keep your Bibles open. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hello, Yahweh there. The step, that's again on your problem is get you on the bottom problem and see if we can get it all squeezed in the short time that we do have. We'll see if we get it all squeezed in, no doubt about it, return in the second portion. All right, good enough. So we can go find Brother Yahweh Israel. We can choose where Yahweh wants this lesson to go and let's see what we can get going on. So when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahweh Israel, Yahweh be with you, seed, right?
Yep. Yahweh bless you, see Israel. Of see Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Well, here we go again. So remember, we're racing to sit down, but we got to go down to get a sit down. Luke chapter 12, verse 12, Brother Yahweh Israel. Let's You're going to get something going on tape number 63. You're on the clock. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
So Israel, in that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that's a great thing, but we got to find out when the righteous spirit shows up, because we hear a lot of statements, well, I'll pray for you, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. So since we need to find out the instruction on how do the righteous spirit operate, and we open up, since that's on the table, we open up in the book of St. John. We open up in St. John. Let's see how the righteous spirit operate. That's pretty good there. The righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Well, let's find out a little bit something about that, Brother Yahdai Israel. We're going to see what we can get in St. John chapter 16. He said, "In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say." We're going to open up in St. John chapter 16 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. And we're going to look down and see what can we get going on. 16, pick a verse 7 to 13. Let's see what we get going on in text number 63. St. John chapter 16, 7 to 13 says what?
The book of St. John chapter 16, verse number 7 to 13 reads. Book of St. John 16, verse number 7. St. John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. But if I go not away, the Comforter, which will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Verse number 8. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse number 9. "Of sin, because they believe not on me." Verse 10, "of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more." Verse 11, "of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come."
Mm-hmm. So now the Almighty Son says he's going to go away and he's going to send the Comforter down to direct your path. So in the book of Hebrew, Luther tried to call Hebrew in 1:14, then what is this first move that the mental spirit is going to do? Let's see if we find out what the mental spirit going to do in 1:14, the book of Hebrew, looted title called Hebrew. What are you going to do there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Hebrew, Plutarian Hebrew, chapter 1, verse number 14 reads, "Are they not all minister spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?"
Oh. So the mental spirit going to show up on those that are heirs of salvation. The ones that's in the heir for salvation. Let's see what it says in the book of the second chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So now we're getting a little something to work with. Oh, right now, in these last days, we need to have a little bit more information. So now the Son, Almighty Yahweh the Son, said he's going to send the Comforter down, which is the righteous spirit. And we find out that the righteous spirit is going to go to those that are heirs to salvation. And that's what we just got through hearing. Let's see if we beat that just a little bit more there. Come on, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2 reads, Book of Hebrew, polluted word, Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse number 2. For if the word spoken by minister spirits was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward.
Mm-hmm. So the word was spoken. The word was spoken by the minister spirits, and they were sent down to those that will be heirs to salvation. So they were sent down to those that will be heirs to salvation. And Jeremiah made a profound statement, and we need to see what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah is a seer, so he made a profound statement on what he thinks that the Almighty have told him. Let's see what he says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 14, 15. Then skip down to 22 to 23. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, 15. Then skip down to verse 22 and 23. Let's see what we can get out of what we just heard there, brother Yahweh Israel. Come on.
The book of Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, 15, verse 22 to 23 reads: Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse number 14, turn, O backsliding children, stay at war, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and I will bring you to Yahdah, Judah's southern kingdom, polluted where is Zion. Verse 15, and I will give you pastors, according to my mind, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Verse 22, return, you backsliding children, family, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art Yahweh or Yahweh. Verse 23, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in Yahweh, our Yahweh is the salvation of Israel.
Mm-hmm. So he says he will give you pastors. That's what he said. He will give you pastors according to his mind. Now we got that's very interesting. Let's take a look at these pastors that he's talking about that he's gonna give you according to scripture. They're gonna give you and how these pastors gonna have to perform. We're just playing by the way we're hearing it. So he's supposed to give you pastors according to, and they're going to teach you knowledge and understanding. Let's see, can we run down in Joel, and we just play it just the way we heard it. We're going to Joel there, brother Yahweh Israel, and we're going to see exactly what's on the table. Joel chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Then we'll skip down to see exactly what he says in verse 14. We'll look at 14. We'll find out exactly what this pastor word means according to scripture. Joel chapter 1, 1 and 2, and skip down to verse 14 there above the Yahweh Israel. Let's run this word down and see what we can work with. Excellent words you put on the table. Let's see if we can work with it a little bit. Joel chapter 1, 1, 2, and verse 14. Come on.
The book of Joel, chapter 1, verse number 1 and 2, and verse number 14 reads, Book of Joel, chapter 1, verse number 1, the word of Yahweh that came to Joel, the son of Petiel, verse number 2, hear this, you old men, and give ear, are you inhabitants of the land? Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Verse 14, sanctify you a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the temple of Yahweh, your Yahweh, and cry unto Yahweh.
Uh-huh. So now we find out right now, Joel has the mission to go gather the pastors. So now we find out, but Joel didn't go gather no pastors. He went looking for the elders. So he went looking for the elders, see, right? He went looking for the elders to gather them together and tell them to cry. But he said, listen, just don't cry anywhere now. He said, cry at the temple of Yahweh. Now, what did David say about that in 7:3:17, David? Let's precept that is what David said in 7:3:17. We just walk this down the way we're hearing it, and that's the great thing. That's the spirit of Yahweh. That's how he operates. Let's see what he says there, Brother Yahweh Israel, 7:3:17.
The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, 73, verse number 17. Till I went into the temple of Yahweh, then understood I therein.
Uh-huh. So that's what it's all about, see, right? You got to get to the temple of Yahweh. And we got six locations. And that's where it starts, right there. Get to the temple of Yahweh with the six locations, and you'll be all right. And that's where it starts at. And the pastors he's talking about, you have to run into elders. Elders is the pastors. Excellent word that Brother Yahweh dropped on the table. So it meant for that word to come out like that. We'll also go and see what the Bible's saying about that. So now Joel have to order and find out who is worthy to be fitting that role. But let's go to the second chapter. Let's see now. So he found out they got to be gathered at the temple of Yahweh. So in the second chapter, we'll pick it up at verse 13 down to verse 16. We're going to Joel chapter 2, 13 and 16. Let's see who we're working with there, Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of Joel chapter 2, verse number 13 through 16 reads. Book of Joel chapter 2. Verse number 13, book of Joel chapter 2, verse number 13 reads, Joel chapter 2, verse 13, and rend your mind and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your Yahweh, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repent of him of the evil. Verse 14, who knoweth if he return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto Yahweh your Yahweh. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom, polluted where Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breath, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet.
Mm-hmm. So he said, now, gather the elders. So Joel the seer, job was to gather the elders. Gather the elders, see, right? That was Joel's mission was. So that word pastor is polluted for the elders. And now let's get a little bit more in 5th chapter, 1 Peter. I mean, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and look at verse 1 and 2. Let's look at and skip down to verse 19 and 20. Let down a little bit there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Excellent on your part, and let's run down a little bit in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1, 2, 19 and 20.
The book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 1, 2, verse number 19, and verse 20 reads, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Verse 2. The elder woman as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Verse number 19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Verse 20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that the others also may fear.
Okay. So we find out now that along the way, that is a great responsibility on the elders, male and female, to enlighten a people that we don't have no name on them right now, but you got to enlighten this people and it starts with Joel the seer, then he works his way down to the elder. And that's a great thing I see, Ray. So now we need to run that down a little bit more and find out when the elders get a hold to this information, where do they go from that point? But see, sometimes you need to know, have a word. And you have to know, according to the Bible, where you go and stand lockstep in protocol with the Almighty Yahuwah. And that's the thing. We got to stay in protocol with the Almighty Yahuwah, as some call the Most High. He is the Most High, but he have a name called YHWH. And that's how we got to stay all locked in place with four-letter man, Yahuwah. Let's run through the book of Isaiah there, Brother Yahdai Israel. We might as well get a couple more steps on that. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 3 and 9, can you help me out in Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 3 and verse number 9?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse number 3 and verse number 9 reads, Isaiah, chapter 1, verse number 3, the ox know of his owner, and he has his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Verse number 9. It says, except Yahuwah of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we shall have been as Sodom, and we shall have been like unto Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm. So he says, now the ox know their master's crib. But he says, my people, Israel, do not know. They do not know what, and I might well give me a little bit more out in 4 and 5. What do my people, Israel, do not know? What they do not know in Isaiah chapter 1, we read 3, they don't know that we can read that, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Isaiah 1, verse 4 and 5.
Yes, sir. 1, we read 3 already. Let's come back to verse 4 and 5 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's get a little bit more out of that. Let's speak that a little bit, because you'll stumble around on something, and we might well beat it a little bit there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Verse 4, a sinful nation, a people laden with sin, a seed of evildoers, family, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahuwah. They have provoked the righteous one of Israel unto anger, gone away backwards. Verse 5, but should you be stricken any more, you will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole mind faint.
Now, who is he telling that to again in verse 3 about their disposition? Who is Isaiah receiving this message, Isaiah the seer receiving this message? And who is he receiving this message to tell in verse 3 about their position? Verse 3.
Book of Isaiah 1, verse 3. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider.
Oh, Israel, my people. So Israel is my people. They the one do not consider. Okay. Because, see, you have to say the right words that is written. That's the key. See, when we know you own something, you will say the right words. Now, we're going to show you when we watch you. We watch you make a statement, but we're going to see, well, can that hold up? Now, Brother Yahdai Israel, read the way you see it, because we go on and get a point out of this, because you open up a pretty good door. So you open a pretty good door, and that's pretty good. So now, what I want to do is go to the book of, you know, you find something on the way, you're finding something. And one verse, now I need for you to kind of help me out there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Read it the way you see it, because you got to watch them, see, right? You got to watch them through the page of the book. You know when they read it to extend the knowledge, because they'll be able to make the right statements. Now, we want to go hear a word, and we're going to leave it just like it is there, and we're going to go seeking it whole up when you investigate it. Now, in the book of Leviticus, there, Brother Yahdai Israel, I'm looking for a profound word in the 26th chapter. And help me out, all I need is verse 45. So the way you see it, don't pronounce nothing on it. I just want to do a little investigating on it and see this word cannot hold up. Let's look at 26th chapter, verse 45. We're going to Leviticus 26, verse 45. And just bring it out there, Brother Yahdai Israel. We'll take it from there. We'll put some book on it. Don't worry, we'll put some book on it. 26:45. Come on, off of Leviticus.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse number 45 reads, Leviticus 26, verse 45. But I will for their sake remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the nation, that I might be there, Yahweh. I am Yahweh.
Excellent. So you see, listen, 16 on the count, saying we do know that you have to make sure you clear that this man has done everything that he can to deliver you up and down. Pull out that article, Brother Yahdai Israel, the historical document, facts on the English word, the King James. The King James, we want to look at how they soundly have made statements toward children of the book. Now, this is where they'll work with. Remember, everything that we always have heard, we have to always find time to look at the etymology and investigate everything that a people have said. Because if a people can deliberately hijack your identity, you look for them to hijack everything that they can to keep you. And but it's already was said. Now, if this happened to you now, but one of the counts told me, said, "Well, you know, seer, I don't know, because I'm a teacher." Well, one thing about it. When you back away from your responsibility of being a teacher, you have to always point one thing. You got to point back, okay, I am up under this teacher, so I cannot back away from being a teacher, because we read in Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, one more time. Let's read that again. So you can't back away. But we do know we got records of those that back away from being a teacher. Then by making that statement out the mouth, it seemed like from week after week after week, it seemed like individual is like somebody taking a brick and just kicked it off the second floor. You know how fast that brick gonna fall? You never run away from responsibility. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse number 1, verse number 2 reads. Book of 1 Timothy 5, verse number 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren. Verse 2. The elder woman as mothers, the younger as sisters with our purity.
So you have elder mothers, and you got elder. Thing about it, we have to always be in position to never shy away from our position, because this is a big job ahead of us, but we got to be able to recognize what we need to know and who to get in contact with and time appointed and table things until you get the answer. Now, we just find out in verse 26 that he says, but I will, for their sake, remember the covenant with their ancestors. With their ancestors, see, right? I already got their ancestors. Now, when you become to teach with the Bible, to help your loved ones, what do you do with a word like that, ancestor there? You do the same thing the Bible tell you to do with that word in the Bible. What it tell you to do? It tells you in Psalms 119, 104, what it tells you to do. What it tell you to do there, Brother Yahshua Israel? Psalm 119, 104.
The book of Psalms, 119, verse number 104 reads, book of Psalms, chapter 119. Verse number 104 reads, through thy precepts I get understanding, for I hate every false way.
So through the precepts you get understanding. When you know you got a person that have soundly looked at every avenue that you have and put a crossroad in it, a cut in it. Like, for example, you go and look at historical documents, facts on the King James. Let's find what can we read on the historical documents, facts on the King James. Remember one thing. When King James was in Scotland, King James was the sixth of Scotland. He was the first of England, Scotland, Ireland, and the first. That's why you got him King James the sixth and King James the first. What that first means was the first king of England. England now, what you call now, it's all been gobbled up by Great Britain. Great Britain has gobbled up all that. But we go and find out one thing. If this same man, you can tap him on his shoulder and say, get up. Get up and But you tell the people that they say you is King James. Do you agree with that? Let me show you what he gonna say behind him being King James. The Starter Documents Fact says what that Brother Yahshua Israel?
I'm reading from the historical document entitled Ancient Shemitic Research. Definition of Shemitic names, and it reads, it is a transliteration of the Shemitic Yaakov, his name in the New Testament. English translation should be Jacob, not James.
Read that again.
Reading from the ancient Hebrew, polluted for Shemitic research, and it reads, is a transliteration of the Shemitic Yaakov, his name in the New Testament. English translation should be Jacob, not James.
The English translation. The historical documents fact said the English translation should have never been James. The English translation of his name, it should have been Jacob. The English translation, the one you call King James, when he do be woke up, and you say, hey, King James, who is that? Well, K King who? James. Well, how did I get a name like that? You know, you always name people from your bloodline descent. James is an English word for Jacob. James is an English word for Jacob. So the writers in English look right at the name Yaakov that was in Semitic. And by knowing that if this name remained on the books, then you can trace your bloodline back to your uncle that was over here in 3228. See, by them removing the name and putting James there instead of Jacob there in English, was translated from Semitic Yaakov, then that means one thing. You will never find your way. Remember we read in Isaiah 1, verse 3? The ox know a owner, but my people Israel have not considered. What was Isaiah was writing in 700 B.C., our people is dumber than an ox and an ass. They know where their master's crib at. You can take an ox or an ass, and you can take it as far as you want to take it, and just let it be there for a minute. And you get in your truck and drive back home yourself. You can blindfold that ox, take it as far as you want on that land, and just put him out. You know what that ox will do? That ox or ass will turn right around, and they'll come right back. I take him some time. He'll come right back to where his crib is at. He says, the children of Israel ain't got enough sense as an ox or an ass. They know they master's crib, but we ain't even consider that everything this man got on the table, he put a fork in the road on you. If when the king wake up and you call him by the name of King James, he gonna say, "Who is that?" He said, "My name. I was named after my uncle, because he got to name somebody after your bloodline. So he was named after his uncle. Because if you was called by his uncle's name, you can trace him back to his master's crib. But as long as you call him James, you can't trace them back to nowhere but the imagination of those that gave it to you." Now in Genesis 32:28, let's find out exactly who was his uncle and what did his uncle do. And let's see what he told his uncle. 32:28 of Genesis. Come on, that brother, y'all got Israel.
Book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse number 28 reads. Genesis 32. Verse 28. And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has you power with Yahweh and with man, and has prevailed."
See that, see right? So that's what the king's name is. That from the tribe of, he's from the tribe of, which one he from? C-Reagan. It's like a Jimmy find out where he's from. See, when you know where you're from, C-Reagan, you can know who's talking right and who's talking wrong. See, remember, everybody in the Bible, when they was given a name, their name represents them back to their relative. That's why when you look at the slave data, some slaves that was over there in the west coast of Africa, when they wrote their name down, they had in their name that traced them back to where they came from. So now, if you want to destroy people, you remove the landmark of his name. Then you do some more things to him we might get in this lesson. But here, but in the point of the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis there, you got a man by the name of somebody, and let's see what this man says. In the 38th chapter, we're going to see what this man says. Let's find what this man said in verse 22. take it down to verse 24. Let's find out some of what this man said. We're going to read who this man is in the 38th chapter, verse number 22 to 24.
The book of Genesis, chapter 38, verse number 22 through 24 reads, book of Genesis 38, verse 22, and he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. Verse 23, and Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. Verse 24, and it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, tomorrow your daughter-in-law has played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by a whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be burnt.
Mm-hmm. But she was laying back in the wings. And what she say behind that? He said, okay, find that old daughter-in-law of mine, and we're going to burn over some fire. Let's see what happened in verse 25. We might make a little short meal out of this, because, like I said again, but we'll find out the key to this. And let me show you what was the key to this right here was. So here go the key to this. I mean, let me back up a minute. Brother Yahweh Israel. Let me show you what the key was to all this was in 38th chapter, verse 15.
Book of Genesis 38, verse number 15 reads, when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face.
See, so he thought for her to be a harlot. So what did he do? A 724 of St. John. Let's see what he did. What did he do? He thought that she was a harlot. That's what he thought, right? Let's see what he was doing in 724 of St. John. What was he doing there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of St. John 7, verse number 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge to her instruction, judgment.
Ain't that something? Proverbs 3, verse 5. So you see, Ray, that's why we watch everybody from the pages of this book. We'll watch you from the pages of the book, see, Ray. Because like I said, again, your appearance can be deceptive. Huh? You might talk deceptive. But if you know how to watch whoever's talking through the pages of the book, you already got the leg up on them. You got a leg up on them, see, Ray. Proverbs 3, verse 5, what it say?
Book of Proverbs 3, verse number 5 reads, book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in Yahweh with all your mind and lean not to your own understanding.
Yes, sir. So Yahweh gives us all the blueprint. And he tells us in number 15, 15, and 16, what do he say? So we just can't just dive down in this book. I understand you're dealing with a race of people that whatever they have put down, all at once. That's what they have been, see, right? And that's what you have to recognize through the pages of the book. They have done something in Isaiah 28 there, Brother Yahweh. If something they have did, I don't need all the verse. All I know that this is written in this book by Isaiah the seer. This is written by Isaiah the seer. Something written in this book in the 29th chapter. All I need just enough to get down to clay. 29:16. Tell me what will happen there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Now, Isaiah has to fill this in this gap. For what reason? Isaiah 29, verse 16, what did he say?
Because Isaiah chapter 29, verse Verse number 16 reads, Book of Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16. Surely you're turning a thing upside down.
Surely you have turned this thing upside down. See, there you go, see, Russell. That's the game changer right there. Understand that the people's now been in charge of the ink pen and the paper. He have turned this thing upside down, and one day you're going to see King James. And you're going to call him King James. Hey, King James. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, I know I was king of, I was the 16th of Scotland. I was a king of Ireland. And I was a king. I was the first king of England. But where you get this name calling me James? Where you get that name from? Where that name come from? How you so comfortable using a name called James to me? Don't you know that I am a descendant from what? Let's go back again and find out a little bit more in verse 26. Back in Genesis chapter 38, verse 26. Let's find out what happened. I'm going to read a little bit more, and we'll take on down to verse 30. See, one thing about the seed right here. He done told you plainly. Did we get a chance to read number 15, 16, Brother Yakda Israel?
No, sir.
Okay, well, what do they say in the way in Numbers chapter 15 and 16? What do they say in the way of Brother Yakda Israel?
The book of Numbers chapter 15, verse 15 and 16 reads, Numbers 15, verse 15, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation of Israel, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahuwah. Verse 16, one Torah instruction and one manner shall be for you, the congregation of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth with you.
So you find out, especially when you is put in a position to be an elder teacher, male or female, you got to make sure you be clear that is a sin against if you don't do the total research and just go with the flow, because we just found out what did historical documents fact say again. Historical documents fact said that when the English man, what did he say again? See, remember, we read now, we bring out what you can read yourself. There's a lot of things we can tell you, but we'll wait till we all can read together. What do historical documents fact says about the English word called James? Read again there, Brother Yahda Israel.
I'm reading from the ancient Hebrew, Palutifer Shemetic Research Center, and it reads, is a transliteration of the Shemetic name, Palutifer in Hebrew, Yaakov. His name in the New Testament English translation should be Jacob, not James.
Ain't that something? They be knowing these things, and that's why you got to be clear when we read earlier in the 7th chapter, in the 16th chapter, 7 through 13, see, when the comforter comes, he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. So one thing about it, when the comforter comes, which is the righteous spirit, he going to show you how to tear down them barriers of lies. Because the people that have gave us this information in English, they have lied to you on every point according to David and 3 down to verse 7. So that's why, listen to me, Sister Melanie Camp, real Kathy. When you step out there, make sure you do the investigation of whatever come on the table. Don't look for nothing face value, because the people that have gave you the information, David wrote about them in 58, verse 3, down to verse 7. And David made up a false statement from the ministering spirit. And what did David say? 58, 3, down to verse 7.
Come back with that.
Down to Israel. Yes, sir. Psalm 58. Think of it, $3, verse 7, Brother Yahdai Israel. You sounded pretty good, that Brother Yahdai Israel. I'm going on a little bit more there, come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 58, verse number 3 through 7 reads, the book of Psalms, 58, verse number 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Verse number 4. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. Verse 5. Which when I hearken to the voice of charmers, charm never so wisely. Verse 6. Break their teeth, O Yahuwah, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Yahuwah. Verse 7. Let them melt away as water which runneth continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrow, let them be as a cup in pieces. Let them be as cut in pieces.
Hear the man say it. Because he says these things, and he say in Isaiah 59, it tells the six anointed camp something. Now, the old seer is put up for the six anointed camp to always do one thing. Before you step out there with them fringes on and that book in your hand, make sure you understand that everything this man have said, he is a liar from the womb. So whatever he say, look for the etymology of what he said. Because he already knows it's a curse on you if you just repeat what he's saying and you don't investigate it. So he knows getting that he got more time. And just like you said, the etymology of the word James. King James. You woke him up right now when you, hey, King James. He said, yeah, I know I'm king, but where did you get that James from? Where did you get that from? That word was translated, it should have been translated Jacob from Yaakov. That would have should have been in English. He said, I don't know how it gets to be what you get, what you're calling me now, and saying I'm the sixth king of King James of Scotland. No. But none of us names know James. Our name was Jacob, if you want to talk about it in English, because he had the Bible translated in English out of Latin. So he translated the Bible from the Latin, and that's why William Tite and all of them got burnt to stakes for taking the book out of Latin and bringing it to English anyway. And look here. And that's why he said, I want every farm boy to have a copy of this thing in English. So he translated the New Testament in English. And the Latin Pope man said, look here, we don't know what to do for him, but not him. And you know what they do? Every so many years, they go back and look for any ashes of him being buried, William Tyndale. William Tyndale was a black man. He was of color. He could have been from one of the tribes, or he could have been from Japhetic people. You know, we just throw it on the table. When you do the research on William Tyndale, he was a man of color. They burnt him, and every so many years they go back and tell you in the historical document fact, they go get his ashes up and burn him again and burn the ashes up. Again, that's how much they think of you when you go against what they have been put together to save the devil. So be very careful. Get comfortable with certain words without investigating. Like we get comfortable with the word called Lord God and Jesus. We get comfortable with them words, Lord God and Jesus, too fast. And say, well, I'm going to pray for you in the name of Lord God and Jesus. Not knowing the etymology of the word is a mistranslation for the four letters YHWH. Huh? So you see, Don't get comfortable with too many words, Steve, right here. Because one thing about it, it's time now for some ministry to say, will that stand up with historical documents facts? So now we clear. You can go read on your Bible. You're reading historical documents facts to find out the name James should never been translated to the English word called James. Yahweh the Son had no brother named James. His brother was named, the closest thing you can get is the English, is Jacob. That was the closest thing you could have got Yahweh's brother when you reached the book of James. We're entertained with you, but then once you do the etymology of the word, you say the word James is a translation. It should have been Jacob in English. But the liar put the name James in there, knowing James have no foundation to stand on. But the word Jacob can take you all the way back to Genesis 32. And Jacob can take you back to Isaac. Isaac can take you back to Abraham. Abraham can take you back to Noah. Shem in the middle, and Noah can take you back to Adam. See the difference here, see, right? That's why I'm saying we're watching the 6th anointing camps hard. And then understand what he says. But you always never forget what he said. In the book of Baruch, chapter 3, 36, 37. Listen real good what he said. Baruch, chapter 3, 36, 37. Listen good. Six anointed camps, the voices of a true Israelite. Listen real good. Baruch was the writer for the brother called Jeremiah the seer. But he told Baruch in the 45th, chapter, you know, I should kill you, Baruch, but I'm going to let you live because you hollering about war with you. This thing is about unlocking the tribes of Israel, and you worry about yourself. So let's see what Baruch, after Yahweh, let him live to write in a book some good stuff. Let's see what Baruch says. Now, you know what I said? Let's see what Baruch says in Baruch 3. 36 and 37. What he said there, Brother Yahdai Israel, see Ray.
The book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse number 36 and verse 37 reads, Baruch chapter 3, verse 36. He had found out all the way of knowledge and have given it unto Israel, his servant, and to Israel, his beloved. Verse 37. Afterward did he show himself upon earth and conversed with me.
Ain't that something? You hear that, buddy, out there as well? So you see what the man is saying. He, you know, and we just precept that. 32 verse 6 to 13 of Deuteronomy. Let's precept that. So you see what the man said he did. See, this is what the man said he did. He said he found all the ways of knowledge, and he gave all the knowledge to Israel, his servant. The word. Afterward, he came down. He made sure that who knew what to do was Israel. That's why it was so important to understand that the wicked have went out his way and put an Isaiah 1:3 on you. The ox know his master's crib. The ox and the ass can find their way back. But my people Israel don't even consider. They don't even consider the power they have by understanding that everything, what you must do, you got to be a 14th. You got to first be a 2nd Ezra 14:34. He said, if you don't be a 2nd Ezra 14:34, the 6th anointed camps cannot help you. What do you say that, Brother Yahdai Israel? 2nd Ezra 14:34.
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 14, verse number 34 reads, book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 14, verse number 34. Therefore it so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind you shall be kept alive, and after death, you shall obtain mercy.
Well, case in point, let's go back to Baruch chapter 2 and read verse 15. Let's go back to, since we're talking about Baruch a little bit. Let's read what it says about Baruch, that Brother Yahjai is in chapter 2, verse 15 and 24. See, you know, it's just amazing how the six anointed camps can just pick up a lesson anywhere that tells a story. And that's the spirit of Yahweh. He says he's just the one that can receive the salvation. You got to be clear about who is in line for salvation. Now look what he says over here in Baruch chapter 2, verse 15. Matter of fact, read verse 4 just to make it sound good. 4, 15 and 24. That's in the final verse, Brother Yahdai Israel. What did it say?
The book of Baruch, chapter verse 4, verse 15, and verse number 24 read. Book of Baruch, chapter 2, verse number 4. Moreover, ye have delivered them to be in subjection to all the kingdoms that are round about us, to be as a reproach, a desolation among all people round about, where Yahweh has scattered them. Verse 15, that all the earth may know that thou art Yahweh, our Yahweh, because Israel and its prosperity is called by your name. Verse 24, but we will not hearken unto thy voice to serve the king of Babylon. Therefore hast thou made good the words that thou spakest by thy servant, the seer, namely that the bones of our kings and the bones of our fathers should be taken out of their places.
Wait a minute, Brother Yahjai. I thought we read earlier about, well, don't worry. I'll pray for you. I will pray for you, and don't worry. I'm gonna pray for you. Wait a minute. See, you're doing too much. Now, what did you say in verse 24? And look what he said, but see, that's what I mean about Christianity. The worst is drugs. I mean, Christianity is the worst detrimental drug it is. Because Christianity will have you just to freely say things like Lord God and Jesus. And you do the evil modesty of the Lord God and Jesus, Lord God and Jesus, whether black man Jesus, white man Jesus Christ, it doesn't make a difference. The etymology of the word Lord God and Jesus come from the four letters of Semitic, YHWH. All them words is polluted. And them words going to get you thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire when you do the hardcore research on Lord God Jesus etymology. And you want to go hang around people, I don't care if they're having a barbecue up and down, but what come out their mouth is Lord God Jesus, Yah and Yahweh. That is a detrimental to you. That's why you got to be clear what's going on. And we watch everybody from the pages of this book to see what you're made of. Because when the middle spirit visits you, you'll be able to deal with this according to the protocol of Yahweh. You go to the protocol of Yahweh right here. Baruch chapter 2, verse 24. Now watch this. We're just going to read it. I'm going to see what you get out of it. What you get out of it, Brother Yahjai Israel, 224.
The book of Baruch, chapter 2, verse 24 reads, but we will not hearken unto your voice to serve the king of Babylon. Therefore, as thou made good the word that thou speakest by your servant, the seers, namely, that the bones of our kings, the bones of our fathers, should be taken out of their places.
So you keep on trying to kick the old sin in the rear end and understand one thing. It don't work for one way according to what's written. In 38 chapter verse 1 and 17, it makes it plain to you in Ezekiel. See, all you do is precept your Bible. And Yahweh will tell you exactly what he did. So all this about what you get ready to go do, well, I know I'm going to check him. I'm going to go. Listen, you can't do anything until you are anointed by the seer to do whatever you got to do. Then we read that in the book of Joel earlier. Why are you trying to get out of protocol all the time and think you're going to have a personal relationship out of protocol, and Yahuwah is an order, Yahuwah. And that's what we set up in all the six morning camps. Order. That's why when you see it, we got them fringes on. Because them fringes on gonna it's gonna find you out. They're gonna find you out. They can look at those fringes and say, I see them fringes. Them fringes, that means if anybody got somebody got some say, it's the one got them fringes on. 38:1-17 says what?
Book of Ezekiel 38:1-17 reads, Ezekiel 38:1, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 17, the say of Yahuwah, are you he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servant, the seers of Israel?
Here the man said. Now that was the man say how he spoke. So how do you think you can get around what Yahuwah said? He said in old times, all the way back to Adam. He said, when I got something to say, I contact my seer, and their job is to get in contact with you. So why are you trying to keep blood past the seer, and we can read the Bible? That's your only way to get this thing right. Then the seers will anoint elders, male and female. Now go pray for the brothers and sisters, and put some anointed oil on them. Why don't you do the Bible and stop doing the imagination of your mind? Because the man that have taught us have lied to us from the get-go. And he gonna ride you all the way in with that lie. So when you find that out, do what you got to do. See you in Baruch. You might want to read Baruch 3, verse 12, we might well get that in. Get that in real quick. Baruch 3, 12, that brother Yahuwah Israel. We might well get Baruch 3, verse 12. What did it say? Baruch 3, 12.
The book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse number 12 reads, Baruch 3, verse 12, you have forsaken the fountain of wisdom.
You have forsaken the fountain of wisdom. You have forsaken the fountain of wisdom, see right here. Now, back up right here in the third chapter and give me, let's find out who he's talking about. What have you forsaken? Verse 9 and 24. What have you forsaken, that brother Yahuwah Israel? Saint Baruch, chapter 9, verse 9 and 24. Listen.
The book of Baruch, chapter 9. Verse number 9 and verse 24 reads, Book of Baruch, chapter 9. Baruch, chapter
3. 9. 3, yeah, brother, yeah, 3, verse 9 and 24. Baruch, chapter 3. I've been saying chapter 3, hitting 9 and 24 while you're there. What does it say?
The book of Baruch, chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 24 reads, Baruch 3, verse number 9. Hear, O Israel, the Torah instructions of life. Give ear to understand wisdom. Verse 24. O Israel, how great is the temple of Yahuwah, and how large is the place of his possession.
Ain't that something? He said the Torah instructions for life, see, right? The Torah instructions seal for this, Jeremiah taught Baruch. See, Jeremiah is he anointed Baruch. Now look at Baruch talking like he the seer. But he was one of the elders then. So that's how the protocol, you can't even, you know, listen. The Torah instructions is for life, see, right? The instructions for life. So when we read Zephaniah chapter 1, 6 through 9, listen, understand the Torah instruction is for life, see, right? See, right? Six anointed camps. The Torah instruction is for life. Zephaniah chapter 1, 6 through 9. Listen good.
Book of Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 6 through 9 reads. Book of Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 6. Zephaniah 1, verse 6. And them that are turned back from Yahuwah, those that have not sought Yahuwah nor inquired for him. Verse 7. Hold your peace at the presence of Yahuwah, for the day of Yahuwah is at hand. For Yahuwah have prepared a sacrifice. Yeah, beat his guests. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahuwah's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Verse 9. And the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's temple with violence and deceit.
The man said he's going to punish you that got on strange apparel. You will let Mr. Liar tell you that he ain't going to punish you, but he told the men of spirit, you tell them, I am going to punish them that got on strange apparel. I'm going to get you. Imagine if you got stolen all on your clothing and you see a spark from it. Don't you do everything you can to get that spark out the way and get them clothes off of you? You don't procrastinate at all once the heat is on your tail. The man said, I'm going to punish you for strange apparel. Can you believe the man what the man saying? And the man said, plainly, where you're going. You believe what Yahweh said, where you're going? Look what he said, you're going in 22:13 of Matthew. We come humble. The man said, I'm going to get you if I catch you in strange apparel. And that's why I'm going to be telling the Six Anointed Camp, stop procrastinating. Because if Yahweh catch you today, he said, I'm going to get you. Do you believe what the man's saying? And this way you're going, and you know it ain't happened yet. And 22, verse 13 of Matthew.
The book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse number 13 reads, book of Matthew 22, verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away. Cast them into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
He said, take them away. That's a prophecy of you being taken away from wearing strange apparel. See, Ray, when you wear strange apparel, don't you know Yahweh got it written that he said, personally, I'm going to tell the mental spirit, take them away and throw them in the bottom of the lake of fire. So you think that what he said over here in the closing statement, Brother Yahdai Israel, for time that, the WCC saying, since you ain't saying nothing good about me, we know that grace hour is upon the review. We don't know when we'll give it back to you. You know, we don't know when we'll give it back to you because you ain't saying nothing good about the other 17 nations yet. And that's why we're not going to sit here and let you have a grace hour, that third hour, knowing you won't say nothing right about us. That's what he said. So what you getting ready to read, Brother Yahdai Israel, in the closing statement? What you getting ready to read?
I didn't catch it, see ya.
Oh. They got with me now, Brother Yahdai Israel. We knew we dropped some on the table. But I tell you what we do, and then go back to Baruch 428. Go back to Baruch 428 and get one in. We'll get a shot in from Baruch 428. Now, once you find out that you've been jacking your slack and you've been procrastinated, if that's a word, listen, camps, Six Anointed Camps. If you on fire, don't you try to do right. Yahweh said, I'm going to burn you in the fire. We know what we said. We said that was Numbers chapter 15, 37 through 40. That was we said that, Brother Yahdai Israel, on the run. But while you're there, get Baruch 428, and we'll get that, and we'll close out with that. But we don't know, like I said again, that third hour is up on the review. Baruch chapter 4, verse 28. Now, Baruch's talking good. Look what Baruch says. And this is what he did. Why you won't do what Baruch did. 28, what did it say?
Book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 28 reads, for as it was your mind to go astray from Yahuwah, so be in return. Seek him 10 times more.
Hey, that's something. Here's the man is saying. This man said, when you go astray from what the man is doing, he said, now you got to seek him 10 times more. And then not only that, you got to have your 3811. Give me 3811. We'll leave it like that. We'll get that among the mothers. We're hoping to get the mothers in and hear the mothers' voice on this thing. So now you got to seek him 10 times more, but you got to remember one thing. Before you seek him 10 times more, you got to remember what it got written in 38 verse 11. Once you find out that you're out of order, you ain't doing right. You got to make sure you got your 3811, you know, dangling out there. What it say in Surat 38:11?
Book of Surat 38, verse 7-11 reads, "Give a sweet savor and a memorial fine flower, and make a fat offering."
Make a fat offering. You know what he gonna say in verse 8, verse 12, the book of Hebrew? What he said, Brother Yahweh? What he gonna say in 8, verse 12? Now this is what he gonna say. Once you make a fat offering. Once you find out that what you're doing, you're procrastinating, you are putting it off to us. Well, I'm waiting on somebody else to do me. No. Yahweh got it written in 28, verse number 12. The blessing is already in your hand. Don't let the man catch you in strange apparel. That's when you know you Israel. What you reading that, Brother Yahweh, Israel?
The book of Hebrew. For the word Hebrew. Chapter 8, verse number 12 reads, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more."
So you see the man says, it's a sin for the nation of Israel to not have on fringes. It's a sin. And he says, by the mouth of the seer, is that when I'm going to punish you for not having on them fringes. Prayer on. I got a heart with you to listen. Get and start, put a thimble on your finger. Do something, put some fringes on. It is a sin for the children of Israel to not have on fringes. It is a sin. You know the musical carol thing says, I got 10 chairs and 12 people. When the music starts, you start walking around the chair. When the music stops, you sit down. Oops, two ain't going to sit down. After two, I'm throwing the bottom of the lake of fire. C-Ray, how long can we come with you? Listen, C-Ray, once you find out you C-Ray, thoughts, some fringes on your clothing, the man said, I'm going to punish you for not having them on. Yes. You believe what the man's saying? Brother Yahweh Israel, what's your closest statement is if I can get the mothers in and hear some of the mothers get on this national radio station? Come on.
Hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir, hallelujah, choir. Love the way it's rolling out. See you, Israel of Seed Royal. Great word, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen, when the man is talking, bring Mr. Tibbs in and get his final thoughts. And we can get the mothers in, because like I said, again, WCC is saying plainly, listen, here, you ain't saying nothing good about nothing. I mean, if I can find something good, I don't mind saying something good. I only can do what Micaiah said. Micaiah said, whatever I hear, that's what I'm going to say, regardless of what you're talking about. That's what Micaiah said. He probably reads that in tomorrow night's lesson. Look at this. What's your final thoughts then? You on the clock. Come on. What you saying, WCC? Seal for what you just got through doing. M-U-T-E-X. Where's your radio station? You do what you want to do. We're going to go see if we find Mother E and Mother Z. We'll see if we bring her in and get old Mother E and Mother Z on take number 63. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, with a loud voice you say, Mother E, Mother Z, Yahweh be with you, see you right here.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, or see you right. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Well, what did we do, Mother Z? We got to do our partners and just say it's Yahweh. Ain't no question about it. And we know we got to watch things and say it and make sure we check out everything. Let's run back to Baruch and look at what it says in Baruch. Now, we read that the word ancestor is laying out there, ancestor. But seeking that word, let's see what that word really means when we put some book on it. Let's run back to Baruch chapter 1. Pick it up at verse number 14 down to verse 19. Let's go to Baruch chapter 1, verse 14 to 19. Let's find out when you see the word ancestor. Don't act like you don't see it. Let's see what goes there in place of the word ancestor. Baruch chapter 1, down to verse 19, what it say?
The book of Baruch. Chapter 1, verse 14 to 19. And you shall read this book, which we shall send unto you, to make confession in the family temple of the Yahweh upon the feast and solemn day. Verse 15. And you shall say to the Yahweh, Our Yahweh belongeth righteousness, but unto us the confession of faith, as it is come to pass this day unto them of Yahweh Judah and to the inhabitants of the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom. Verse 16, and to our king and to our prince, to our prince and to our field and to our father. Verse 17. For we have sinned before the Yahweh. Verse 18. And disobeyed him and have not hearkened unto the voice of the Yahweh, our Yahweh, to walk in the commandment that he gave us. Openly. Verse 19. Since the day that the Yahweh brought our fathers and ancestors out of the land of Egypt, Mizraim, unto this present day, we have been disobedient unto the Yahweh, our Yahweh, and we have been neglected in not hearing his voice.
Mm-hmm. So he says, we have disobeyed our forefathers. So when you see the word ancestor, see right here, it means forefathers. Let's go to Baruch 3, verse 5, and get a second witness. So I'm going to tell you something. When you see this word ancestor, See, they'll play around that word ancestors, and you go to ancestor.com and all that old stuff. No, see, Ray, you got to know about your forefathers and your foremothers. Forefathers, see, Ray, ancestors polluted for forefathers. Baruch chapter 3, verse 5 says what?
Baruch chapter 3, remember not the iniquities of our forefathers, but think upon thy power and thy name now at this time.
So you see, Baruch was anointed by Jeremiah. He was a scribe. Jeremiah anointed him to go and stretch out because Yahweh said, I shall kill you, Baruch. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. So when you see the word ancestor in your Bible, don't act like you don't see the word. ancestor polluted for forefathers. Now it is, it's polluted for forefathers. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Listen good.
2 Timothy chapter 1.
Chapter 1, verse 3. Yes, ma'am. What does it say?
2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse, no.
Verse 3.
Thank Yahweh, whom I serve, from my forefather ancestor.
Forefather.
Yes. My forefather, the true conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembered of thee in my prayer night and day.
So what word supposed to go there every time you see the word called ancestor? Forefathers. Forefathers. Because he tells you plainly if you're going to ever know the Bible, and that's why he messed up with King James. King, his name was never called James. That's the English word for Jacob. See, now, by you would be calling him the white man, King James, that wrote the book. If you know that his name is never was James from the get-go, close that you get it to his name in English is Jacob. And you know Jacob's name was changed of Israel. Then take it right back to his forefather, the one that wrestled in the garden over there in Genesis 32, 24 through 28. So that's why you got to know, that's why you just can't just jump down and do this thing right here without checking the etymology and find out what they're saying, because you're dealing with a bunch of liars. And they were liars from the get-go. So how you think he going to tell you something right? He'll tell you just enough to deliver you up. Yahweh the Son ain't got no brother named James, although you read James. But he done told you the etymology of the word. The English word for James, it should have been Jacob. Now, you go in your, and pull up yourself now. You pull up yourself for the total information. So we talk about King James, it's King Jacob. That's what the sixth king of Scotland was named. Jacob, not James. See? So now, when you understand that, and the one thing I do, is to have you some Acts 2:38. Now, once you find out this information and you do the research, you have you some Acts 2:38. What does it say in 2:38?
The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38.
Yes, ma'am.
Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Thus have made known to me the way of life.
No, look at it real carefully. Hold on. Look at 2:38 real carefully. Acts 2:38. Look at it real carefully.
I'm reading 28. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh the Son, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the righteous spirit.
Mm-hmm. 3 verse 9. 3:19. Acts 3:19 says what?
Okay. Acts 3:19. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh.
Repent for what reason? Numbers chapter 15, 37 through 40. What do you repent for? Let's see what you will repent for once you find out that Yahweh is going to get you. What do you repent for as long as you're hearing this message? Numbers chapter 15, 37 through 40, what does it say?
Numbers chapter 15. Verse 37 to 40. 37. The Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, 38. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue. 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring. Verse 40, that you remember and do all my commandments and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
So you see, the reason why you wear fringes in the clothing is a reminder of Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 3. It's a reminder. It's a reminder of what you're supposed to be doing when you got your fringes on. It all of a sudden, it'd be like a third kick. It'll give you a little kick. Let's see what it says in Leviticus 23, 1, 2, and 3 there, Mother E.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1, and the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be righteous assembly, even these are my feet. Verse 3, 6 days work be done. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and righteous assembly. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Yahweh in all your dwellings.
24, verse 1 and 8. Leviticus 24, verse 1 and 8.
Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1 and verse 8. Leviticus 24, verse 1. And Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Yahweh continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant.
Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16.
Okay. The book of Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 16. He come to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
That was Yahweh the Son custom. 18 verse 2. Make it 18 verse 4 of Acts. That was Yahweh the Son's custom, was to get to the temple on his Sabbath day to do some reading. That was his Sabbath day when the sun go down on Friday to the sun go down on Saturday. It's not the first day of the week. It's not, that's Satan day. That's a work day. Paul made a profound statement in 18 verse 4, and what did Paul say? Of Acts 18 verse 4.
The book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Gentile Jews and the southern kingdom and the Greeks, the northern kingdom.
Mm-hmm. He reasoned in the synagogue, polluted for temple, every Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Every Sabbath, the word sin of God is a Jewish word for the temple of Yahweh. So he ain't done no sin no time. He was a man without sin. So,
right.
Clear here in Seed Radio, understand one thing. We have to follow the people of the book, and the one that leads by example, it is the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelites. And Deuteronomy 22, verse 12 says what? You understand one thing, Seed Radio. You're going to be reckoned about what Yahweh got written. He only recognize you the way he got it written. He'll tell you plainly in 22. I'm about to read verse 5 and verse 12. Let's see what he says in 22, verse 5 and verse 12.
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 and verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 12. Thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their vesture, wherewith thou cover thyself.
You hear me, right? He said you put fringes on your clothing, on mm-hmm. your dresses, on your skirts. The reason why, to cover yourself and remember the Torah instructions of the first five books. That's when Yahweh mm-hmm. recognize you. That's when you recognize mm-hmm. you. Through the fringes. The fringes are supposed to cover yourself. Let's run to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 17. And who will take the lead? We're going to Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 17.
Okay.
You want to find out who will be taking care of this business, the royalty of the Bible. You want to know who the royalty of the Bible is? Is it the Christian? Who is the royalty of the Bible in Nehemiah 6, 17?
Book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 17. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Yahweh Judah's southern kingdom sent many letters unto Tobiah.
That's good enough right there. So, who is the nobles of the Bible, according to what we can read? The nobles mean the nobility. That means the leaders. Who is the nobles of the Bible that we can read right there in 6:17?
Who is the nobles?
Yeah, according to that verse. No, according to that verse. Who is the nobles?
Oh.
Who is the according to that verse? Who? Excellent. Oh, that's who the nobles is. That's right. That's who the nobles is. The nobles is Yahdah Judah. Two of them are doing all the talking out of 12 tribes. All one mouth will be going is the nobles of Yahdah Judah. The elders, male and females of Yahdah Judah, was the only one will be talking in these days right now. Let's precept that to Nehemiah 13, verse 17. Let's precept there and get a second witness. So the only one will be talking right now in these days is the nobles, the leadership of Yahdah Judah. And we're going to precept that to 13, verse 17 of Nehemiah. You get a second witness.
Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 17, read. Then I contended with the nobles of Yahdah Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day?
He said, Yahdah Judah, why are you, that's an evil when you profane the Sabbath day. That's an evil thing that you do. Why are you doing this? 58. 13 and 14, the 12th chapter of Isaiah 58, verse 12 through 14. He's asking, that's the evil thing you're doing, Yahdah Judah, when you profane the Sabbath day. That's evil. You're doing an evil thing. Let me tell you, dude, in Isaiah 58, 12 to 14, listen good.
So the Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12 to 14, verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thus shall rise up the foundation of many generations. And thus shall be called the repair of the bridges, the restore of paths to dwell in. Verse 13.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my righteous day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the righteous of the Yahweh honorable, and shall honor him not during thine own way, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. Verse 14. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Yahweh, and I will cause thee to rise upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Israel, thy father. For the mouth of the Yahweh has
so you see, Yahweh said on the Sabbath day is not a hell-raising day. It's a righteous day that you gather. It's not a hell-raising day. That's the day you get filled up to understand them 6 days of them wicked days or work days. If you hope you don't never be a hell raiser, period. But them are days that you had your hell raising, if you're going to have any. But you're going to put all that hell raising down on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
When the sun go down on Friday, the sun go down on Saturday, there's going to be no more hell raising. You're supposed to have your mind on 26 verse 3 of Isaiah. What it say in 26 verse 3 there, mother? What do Isaiah say?
Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thus will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee.
So when you trust in your mighty one, when you trust in your Yahweh, when you come on the Sabbath day to enter the sixth anointed camp, you have all that hell-raising spirit, you leave it outside of all the six locations and come in with big ears and a little mouth, and then you working with Yahweh. Don't bring that hell-raising spirit on the Sabbath day, because we trying to get close to the Yahweh, because man get ready to do some damage. And we got to know the signal, what to be ready for, not your hell-raising. So hold your hell-raising up. Skip down to verse 12 and 13.
Same book.
Yes, ma'am. 26, verse 12 and 13.
Isaiah chapter 26, verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 12. Yahweh, you will ordain peace for us, for thus also have grown all our works in us. Wrote all our works in us.
Verse 13.
17.
13.
Oh Yahweh, our Yahweh, other false Yahweh beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name.
You see that? Look at what WCC said. Now, see, now look, we're going to let you talk over 15 minutes. Is you going to say anything good about us? Well, we believe we're saying something good about Six Anointed Camps to get on a ball game. So We know it's your radio station. You do what you got to do, and we'll just do what we got to do. We're going to Numbers chapter 24, verse 9. Can we go to Numbers? No, let's go to Genesis 12, verse 1, and look at 1 through 5. See, one thing we know, WCC, come on this network humble. You want to pull away and do what you want to do, that's your prerogative, your radio station for now. But we know what's written over here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. What's written there, Mother E? Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 5. What's written there?
The book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, verse 1. Now the Yahweh has said unto Abram, get thee out of this country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in thee shall all Israel of the earth be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram departed as Yahweh had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Verse 5. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance, that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came.
Mm-hmm. So you see, it was told by Abraham, the forefather of the nation and the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He was told, you get down to the land of Canaan, and everybody mm-hmm. that cursed you, I'm going to curse them.
Right.
Anybody that blessed the sinners of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel,